In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. An aspect of my examination of conscience, no, this is not therapy, so I'm not revealing everything, only a process. Part of that process involves recognizing that I fail to rely upon the Lord. I'm in the confession line again because of particular sins for which I'm guilty. That is true. But all of those individual particular sins can, as a root, have at their core this failure to rely completely and totally upon God as I'm called to do. For if I call upon the Lord, I'm always going to be less likely to be guilty of sin. And of course, the more I take on the life of Christ, the easier it is for me to live this life unto the Lord. And it truly is that simple. When I am with God, all things are possible. Apart from God, there is only sin and failure, sadness, suffering, sorrow, and death. After all, the wage of sin is death. How does this apply to what we hear in our gospel today? Because every aspect of the spiritual life, brothers and sisters, must begin and end in intimate union with the Lord. The question that I ask myself, the revelation to which I come when I'm standing in the confessional line, is a question I put to you. Why do you persist in trying to do this by yourself? And that is not a rhetorical question, because not only do I go to confessions, I also hear confessions now almost every single day. And the question is, at each and every time we sin, why do we find ourselves doing things our own way? Where does that willfulness come from? From what is the origin of that self-directedness that somehow convinces me, when all the evidence to the contrary is clear, that I somehow can be the best arbiter of what is good for me? Only God knows what is best and good for me. And therefore, what is required of me is to radically depend upon Him. And when I say this is a radical dependence, that is precisely what I mean. It is at the very root, the core, the foundation of who you are must be your dependence upon the Lord. Not only then are you able to avoid sin, you then likewise are able, better able, most able to embrace grace and goodness. Our gospel is about mercy. Mercy shown to the servant who refused to show that mercy to others. If we go to God and ask for forgiveness from Him, we must be compelled to offer that forgiveness to others. This is not an option. This is not the pirate code that I can choose to abide by if it so meets my needs. It is the essence of our existence. As I seek forgiveness from God, I am compelled to forgive others, even and especially if they themselves do not come for forgiveness and do not seek forgiveness or understand that they need to be forgiven. I simply cannot wait until someone throws themselves at my feet and says, "I am sorry for my sins, please forgive me." Just as I go to the Lord, and the Lord is always there welcoming back, waiting for me to return to Him, so my heart should likewise be disposed to forgive those who offend me. And to be very clear, brothers and sisters, we don't have to look for enemies in foreign lands or people who are different from us or think differently from us. Forgiveness begins in our homes with the very people with whom we live and move and have our being. Husbands forgiving wives, wives forgiving husbands, children forgiving one another and forgiving their parents, generations forgiving one another. How many of us, if we were to do a show of hands, and I'm not asking for that, can speak of relationships in families that have been damaged for generations simply because of an unwillingness to forgive, which requires that we forget, that we don't hold on to the grudges and the past hurts? Not that we look past them, but we allow God to heal them. Just as God heals us as we beg forgiveness from Him, so likewise we are required to do the same. But to be clear, if this is something you persist on doing by yourself, then you will not succeed. You will fail time and time again. And then that rancor and that bitterness that can so easily become a part of our existence will eat away at your resolve to do good things. It will eat away at your very soul, making it difficult for you to embrace the things of God. And so this in mercy to which we are called And St. Faustina reminds us that at the heart of divine mercy is a complete and total trust in God. There it is yet again. Trust in the Lord. Relationship with God. Radical dependence upon God. These are non-negotiables. I don't know why we somehow think we can recraft the whole content of salvation to simply meet our own needs in a particular moment. Because our existence is not God coming to fit us. It is us going to God to be transformed by Him. And as much as indeed He comes to us, bends low to us, offers Himself to us in sacrifice and in the tabernacle, it is so that we can then be pulled up by Him to live as we know we ought to live. And so as you embrace this virtue of mercy, which you are called upon to do today, most especially if you present yourself at the rail for the reception of Holy Communion. It is an act whereby you profess faith in the living God whom you receive, and in the whole content of the faith that is embodied in our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. If you receive Him, then you are committed to living out the mercy that He Himself bestows upon you. This is why there has always been, throughout the Church's tradition, the exhortation to be aware of what it is you are doing and whom you are about to receive when you present yourself to the altar of sacrifice. If you are not ready, well disposed and prepared, if you are not willing to give yourself over to God and lose your will in His, then the altar is not a place for you, at least not yet. Until you have reconciled those tensions and have willingly presented yourself to the Lord, then you are able to come forth and to receive Him. And it is in that relationship that we can truly live out the mercy that God calls us to. Now, lest there be any confusion, I think it's always good to periodically say, as a preacher, that I stand before you not as one who has perfected this, but one who continues, like you, to practice, and maybe more often than not, fails. The Lord always in His divine providence has a beautiful way of inserting Himself into my life at the precise moment that I don't want it, but at the precise moment when I desperately need it. Today is about mercy. Mercy which is oftentimes difficult to bestow upon others, especially in those moments when it is not wanted. But maybe the most difficult person to forgive is ourselves for the sins we are guilty of. The damage we have done to the body of Christ, the damage we have done to ourselves and relationships, to let go of those hurts, those sins, instead of recalling them time and time again and allowing that recollection of them to keep us mired in our sins, instead of lifted up and held tightly in the grace and the mercy of God. A question I've asked you before is a question that I asked myself. It is a question that I ask you now again because it needs to be asked over and over again. Do you believe? Are you convicted of the very things that are proclaimed in Scripture, but more importantly, the living God whom you are about to receive? If the answer is yes, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief, then you must begin now, today, again, and maybe it is an ongoing, continuous process of reforming your life in such a way that you are more deeply reliant upon the Lord, and therefore better able to live the life of God. Most specifically today, this virtue of mercy. And so, final aspect of contemplation. Very concretely, who is it that needs to be forgiven in your life? What relationships need the reparation of your mercy bestowed upon another, even as you might seek mercy from God or mercy from them? This person or persons may be living or deceased. It matters not, because such is the power of this mercy that it is not contained here on earth, but is loosed in heaven as well. Think about that. Then think about what it is you're going to do to put into practice the mercy to which we are called. For our Lord makes very clear we have two options: to be like the Master who forgives and find ourselves at peace in reconciliation, or to be like the wicked servant who finds himself bound and put to the torture. So also my Heavenly Father will do to you, the Lord says, if you do not each forgive your brothers from your hearts, not just with your lips, not even with your disposition of smileness and niceness to them, but also, more importantly, from your heart, you must forgive. In order to do that, recognizing the difficulties therein. Think also on your relationship with God and rely upon Him complete and totally for this life of virtue to which we are called. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.